תפילת החברים.
The prayer of the friends.
בורא יקר.
Dear Creator.
לפניך.
We come before you today.
כדי לרומם את החברים.
To lift up our friends that are gathered here.
וכדי לתת לך.
And to give you contentment.
אנו מבקשים.
We ask that you fill our hearts with your qualities and that we may always hold on to each other. May we always seek to do your will and act with the intention of bringing you contentment.
נחת רוח.
אמן.
אנחנו בשיעור בנושא כל מעשיך יהיו לשם שמיים.
We are in a lesson on the topic of all your actions will be for the sake of the Creator. I'm going to read selected excerpts from the sources. We are in excerpt number 4.
כל מעשיך יהיו לשם שמיים. זאת אומרת שאנחנו כל הזמן צריכים.
All your actions will be for the sake of the Creator, meaning that we have to always aim through all the actions, thoughts, desires that we have in this world towards the Creator, so that He will feel that we are aiming everything towards Him, that we are aimed at Him. And that all in all we want just one thing, that He will receive what comes out of our heart and connect it and correct it and fill it with His presence. Other than that, we have no desires, intentions, actions. What we do is only from the necessity of existence. And that's it. That's all we have. It's simple and straightforward, very compact.
שוב קטע 4.
I'll read again.
Again, excerpt 4.
הכל לשם שמיים.
Why do we need to work for the sake of the Creator? As it is written, all your works will be for the sake of heaven and not for your own sake. After all, the Creator does not get anything from our work for Him because He has no lacks. Why then do we need to work in order to bestow? Indeed, this is only for the sake of the created beings, for by this they will be saved from disparity of form from the Creator and will be rewarded with equivalence of form called as He is merciful, so you are merciful. It is not that He needs them to work for Him, as though He needs the respect of the creatures, Rather, by working for the sake of the Creator, called only for the sake of heaven, the creatures will benefit from this and will enjoy. This is called that the tzimtzum, restriction, and the concealment were in order to bring to light the perfection of his deeds, meaning for the creatures to be able to enjoy without feeling any shame. This is the meaning of equivalence of form and adhesion with the Creator.
But don't think that we just need to get rid of the shame and that's our goal. That's just a means, it's a sign of whether we're in equivalence of form or not. And the matter of shame must always rise and rise in our sensitivity. Some people are ashamed of 1 gram of the world to receive, and some of tons of the world to receive, and others don't even feel that there's a will to receive that activates them. So the shame was given only for us to know. Yeah, yes, Dudi.
If the Creator gets nothing from us working for him, and he doesn't need that we will work for us, for him, so what does it mean to bestow contentment upon the Creator?
It's a good question. Even a cunning question, I would say. The Creator himself is only a vessel of bestowal, if we can call it a vessel, a will to bestow, a desire to give to the created beings. That's what he's got. But in order to bring them to a state where they can receive his benefit, where they can feel the pleasure that's coming from him, they have to make the vessels for it. Because then they can feel what's happening and understand what's happening in them, and thus they grow in recognizing the action of bestowal.
No?
That's it?
Any shilot?
No questions. Okay.
Shamati
I heard you say in the beginning of the lesson that the Creator gets what comes out of our hearts.
Yes.
How can the heart become our heart?
We make efforts in getting close to each other. Sometimes we have these inner urges in each and everyone towards the others. And the Creator collects these tendencies and he collects them together, and with that, all together, he puts together a system of bestowal, a single heart. This is essentially what we build, and then we feel in this building, Lishma, our spiritual world. This is what we later discover. We begin to discover him by having between us some participation in the tendency towards each other. That's how we come to it. We begin to feel the single vessel, the single heart, the place where we're all drawn to Him, to being connected, to being together. This place is called Shechina, and the Creator is already there, and that's how we discover Him, and that's how. Discover Him, and that's how we become adhered to Him.
What does it mean that we direct our actions, our thoughts, our intentions to the Creator?
The general force of bestowal that we can establish between us and depict between us. This is called the Creator to us. Come and see. Bore. That's the name of the Creator. Bo, come and re, see. And when we come and discover Him, then we already understand what it's about, and not before.
But I heard you say that we have to direct our actions to Him so He will feel we are directing them toward Him. So what is the thing we are directing? And the Creator feels that we are.
We wish to achieve the force of bestowal, equivalence of form, meaning to bestow to Him what we think He bestows to us. How can we do it? By each of us coming out of oneself a little bit and connecting to the Ten. So from connecting to the Ten, we can thus calibrate ourselves and get closer to the concept of the Creator. And so from ourselves, from our efforts, from the direction that we have, as we aim ourselves towards this single idea, from that we build. We establish Him, we design Him. Like little kids put together something from bricks or sand, that's how we shape Him. And that's why it's called Bore, come and see, that we make it. And it's not that He just exists that way before we shape Him in front of us. Rather, there's only some root, some force that has no relevance to us. We make Him only by making concessions to each other, the friends in the Ten, and connecting to each other, the friends in the Ten. And that is what we are thinking of as already some construction of the Creator. We build Him. We make Him, as it is written, you have made me.
But what does it mean to build Him? What does it mean that we built the Creator?
From all those tendencies towards bestowal, towards connection, where we each, whatever we can each produce from our heart in connecting to the friends. And altogether, what we shape from all the friends, that's how we make Him. Meaning the Creator is born, if we can say that, or emerges from the connection between us.
So, building Him, we constantly rebuild Him, or did we build Him and that's it?
Yes and no. We always collect something, add something, yeah, accumulate something, yeah. Or that he deletes what we built and then we have to start anew.
And the act of building the Creator. Are all of us conscious that we built him, or does it all depend on...
It all depends on the participants. Some yes, some no, and then each one feels on a different level that he is present in building the Creator and the efforts of the group, yeah.
So what does each of the participants bring into the building of the Creator?
His desire to connect with the others and build the Creator in it.
It's not the same. Like you said, we erase it and then we do it. How do you direct yourself to really do every action in the connection between us in the right direction?
Well, basically, he first needs to feel the friends. What connection they are in and what he can add to the connection. Or how can he complete the connection? And thus he... That's how he advances. I don't have more to add to this. Each one, from his efforts, as much as he can complement the 10. Okay, yeah.
Thank you very much, Rav. What does it mean that the Creator will correct everything that comes out of our hearts? What does it mean that the Creator will correct everything that comes out of our hearts?
If we intend to reach the Creator, to reach adhesion with Him through connection between us, then we always have a way to move forward. And the Creator corrects us, changes us, as if plays with us, this way or that way, how we have to feel each other in connection between us, and what else do we lack in order to advance towards him. That's it.
Yeah.
Can we say that this is the meaning of bringing to light the perfection of his deeds?
Well, it can be still far from wholeness, from perfection, but yes, in order to reach perfection. Perfection is adhesion.
Thank you.
That's it. Yes, Niv.
What is the addition of bringing contentment to him?
Bringing contentment to him means that if the Creator is complete bestowal, then his goal with the created beings is only one, that they'll have the same state as he is in. And so all our actions are such that we are moving towards him, towards equivalence with him.
If all our work is to build the vessel, the equivalence with him, why is it not enough for us to bring contentment to people, to connect, to build a vessel between us? What is the addition of bringing him specifically contentment?
There are many details in this. Until we connect to that law of bringing contentment to him. There's a difference between bringing contentment to the created beings and bringing contentment to the Creator, because the Creator includes everything. And if we come to actually bringing contentment, then we are bonded with the general kli, with the root of all of creation. Whereas when we are working on bringing contentment to the friends, to the created beings, to the group, it is still incomplete work.
Why?
Well, the creator is called the whole, which means that there's still inside each and every person and inside these connections, there are additional actions that we can't detect. And so we're asking the creator to close all these holes.
So is it something that has to come in to begin with or only in the end?
No, this happens throughout the entire path, but we feel it, especially in the end.
So if we feel it only in the end, then why do we need to study it now, in the beginning of the way, and aim to bring contentment to the Creator from the very beginning?
That we have to understand that I have to do whatever I'm capable of, and the Creator will finish the job for me.
Okay, so I can say this also with respect to love of friends. I have to do whatever I can in connection between us, and the Creator will help me love the friends. Why do I also need to bring contentment to Him?
It's not about just leaving the Creator with some part of our work to do. It's also the kind of attitude towards Him, that in partnership with Him, I do part of the work that I'm able to do, that is up to me, especially up to what's especially up to me, let's say, and He certainly orchestrates and settles everything with His forces. You could put it like this: the final correction or the complete action can come only on the condition that there is light that is not of 10 sfirot, but rather one light, a single light, and then everything truly connects to a single vessel.
So practically, what does it mean to aim to bring Him contentment if it's only revealed in the end?
No, you're bringing contentment to Him in each and every moment. You are.
But how?
By trying to exist in a society that's aiming for adhesion with the Creator. So all the actions, even if you make mistakes, and it doesn't matter how, still, we're advancing.
This is clear. I mean, if bringing contentment is not felt throughout the way, but only in the last revelation or revealing of the vessel.
No. Why? No. On the way, as we rise from one state to the next, we feel that we're ascending in bringing contentment to the Creator.
Again?
At every stage.
Right.
Fine, but at every stage, when is the matter of bringing contentment revealed?
Every stage. You know.
But in the correction of the phase, at the end of the phase,
phase. Yes.
Great. So what does it mean to begin with? When I only begin to work on building the vessel, I have to aim to something that I have no idea what it is, that it's that is completely disconnected from the feeling.
You have to think to begin with. How much you're capable or incapable of it, it doesn't matter. You have to think that your goal is to bring contentment to the Creator, even if you just say it in words, as it's written.
Why?
Why? Because by that you're like a little child that is learning how to speak even though you don't really know what you're saying. That's how it works. You gradually cleanse your vessels until you put them together and you can put together a sentence or a story, and then that's how we build. We build this, that's how the system is built.
To continue the example of a little child for a minute, what does the parent get contentment for? From the kids getting along between them, why is it enough for the Creator? Why is it not enough for the Creator to say, connect among yourselves and that will bring me contentment, leave me alone?
Yes.
So, why is the instruction to do everything for the sake of heaven?
That means that you're bringing him contentment?
No. Of course, if I connect with my friends, by this I bring him contentment.
Why?
Because we're all parts that put together this vessel called the Creator.
Okay, so you've done it. So you've done it, but where's your direction? Where's your relation?
Oh, I get it. So the direction is to bring him contentment through the connection between us.
To begin with. That's the whole difference between the worker of the Creator and one who's not.
Otherwise, what would happen? What's the danger if I worked only for the sake of love of friends?
You wouldn't get anything out of it. Nothing would work because you can't build a relationship between the people if it doesn't ultimately aims at the Creator. It doesn't follow the entire order of creation, and you won't be able to do it.
Or annul. But still, I'm not ashamed, and he's not ashamed. So what does it mean to be ashamed before a friend or the other way around?
For now, we are ashamed of other people finding out that we are egoists, that we don't know, that we don't understand. That's for now. But ultimately, we have to be ashamed of not sufficiently helping the friends, supporting the friends. That's the only shame we should have.
Kiev 1.
Kiev 1. Благодаря тому, что будут работать для пользы Творца, что называется только лишь во имя Небес, из этого произрастет польза для творения. То есть тут видно, что начинаются.
It says here that they should work only for the sake of the Creator, and from this there will be benefit for the created beings. How? Before we begin to work on connection for the sake of the created beings, can we place this goal of benefit to the Creator at the top of our engagement?
This is how a person should speak in the group and prepare the group and prepare himself so that everything they want to do will be for the sake of the Creator. This has to be the preparation.
Ну вот мы делаем массу действий, каких-то собраний, там, как вот, чтобы это было не просто словами.
Well, we do many things, we have many gatherings. How do we make it not only words, but really in our bones, in the essence, at the basis of everything we do?
It depends on how consistent we try to be in that and come back to that and demand it from ourselves, from the entire group, because the success depends on whether it comes from the heart of the group, from the heart of the ten.
How can I demand this from the group, from the friends? It's only an understanding, something you can't see.
That depends on mutually influencing each other. with our friends. If there is no choice and we want to reach the purpose of life, then we can't be shy here or stop ourselves, but really try to be as one man with one heart. That's very, very important. By that, each one can cover for the other and complete the others, and the Creator's attitude towards the person or towards the group
יוצא שמטרת החיים זה להתחבר בינינו.
It turns out that the goal of life is to connect between us for the sake of the Creator, bring him contentment, and the Creator doesn't need it, he doesn't get anything out of it.
No, אני לא הייתי אומר שהוא לא צריך את זה ולא
I wouldn't say that he doesn't need it or doesn't receive anything from it. That's also incorrect. But it's not that he has a deficiency, that he has a deficiency for that. He has a deficiency that the created beings will come closer to him and adhere to him. That's his deficiency, but it's not a deficiency in the sense that we have a deficiency, like what was created in us, because he doesn't lack it. That's what you discover.
It's a reality without any triumph or profit or benefit. It's a completely different reality.
That is actually the benefit. It's the greatest benefit. It's eternal benefit. As it is said, the purpose of knowing is that we won't know, meaning that it means that a person is incapable of revealing this, but ultimately he does. He reveals Ensof, infinity. We don't have the vessels for this. That's why we can't speak or think. Yeah?
Can we say that bringing contentment to the Creator is the revelation of the Creator to His created beings? Is this bringing contentment? Rav, revealing the Creator to His created beings is the topic of all of the wisdom of Kabbalah, of all of our efforts.
Is it not the intention that you're to bring contentment to the
All right, mister.
Item number 5. When a person wishes to walk on the path of truth, meaning that all his works will be for the Creator, called in order to bestow, and not for his own benefit. He must believe that the Creator knows what to give him and what not to give, in order for one to avoid deceiving oneself and see each time if he's walking on the path of bestowing contentment upon the Creator. He needs to see himself and whatever his state, he must be pleased. He should trust that this must be the Creator's will. So, I do not mind what state I'm in. Rather, I must toil and pray for what I understand, and trust in the Creator that He will help me for my own benefit. But the Creator knows what is to man's benefit, not man. Here, one can criticize one's engagement in Torah and Mitzvot. If one's intention is that he wants to bestow upon the Creator and not for his own benefit, meaning that his aim is not to bestow in order to receive. For this reason, when one establishes the order of one's work and goes to pray to the Creator, he should trust in the Creator that he will receive his prayer. At that time, he should trust in the Creator, meaning that the measure of confidence concerns the Creator's view, and not that he will trust another. And who is the other? It is man himself. That is, the measure of confidence that the Creator will help him should be as the Creator understands, and not as man understands.
Eta 1.
Buongiorno Rav. Prima hai detto che il Boré non esiste e che siamo noi che lo costruiamo. Poi hai detto che
you said before that the Creator doesn't exist and we build him. Then you said that the Creator completes what we begin to build.
Quando il Boré completa, l'uomo scopre che il Boré c'era già prima, aveva già organizzato tutto.
But when the Creator completes, the person discovers that the Creator set up everything to begin with.
Put it this way. It's not like a person discovers it so easily, but put it this way. So, in the end, of course, a person discovers that the Creator does everything. But a person must each time agree with what the Creator does. In other words, reveal what the Creator does and even repeat the same actions and agree with them and be thankful. Okay.
Woman PT 38.
Women PT 38.
It says we have to trust the Creator, that the Creator will receive his prayer. What does it mean?
Trusting that the Creator will receive or accept my prayer is because without it, I won't be able to turn to him with my prayer. I have to be certain that he hears every single prayer, every single desire that the Creator wants to direct it. And even if he doesn't want to direct it toward the Creator still accepts it because we are inside the Creator and whatever happens in us comes to him. The question is, are we adding to it our own desire? Or not.
From Women Chile, what does it mean that the Creator will help you the way he understands and not the way the person understands?
What does it mean? The Creator always advances us toward the purpose of creation, but there's a difference if we want to advance toward it or if he advances us against our will. That's the difference. That's the difference between the path of Torah and the path of suffering.
From Women Moscow 1, bestowing is fulfilling a friend's desire or a lack. If the Creator does not have a lack, how can you bestow to him?
The Creator does have a deficiency. He wants to bestow upon the created beings, to fill them, to love them. This is his quality, his only quality, love, out of which he operates. And therefore, we need to not forget it. And with
thank you.
Okay, so what's next, mister?
Item 6. We should know that when one begins to walk on a path of wanting to come to do everything for the sake of the Creator, he comes to states of ascents and descents. Sometimes he comes to such a great decline that he has thoughts of escaping Torah and Mitzvot. Meaning, thoughts come to a person that he has no desire to be in the domain of Kedusha. In that state, one should believe that it is to the contrary, meaning that it is the Kedusha that runs away from him. The reason is that when one wants to blemish the Kedusha moves forward and runs away from him first. If one believes this and overcomes during the escape, then the brach, escape, becomes berech, bless. It is, as it is written, bless the Lord his strength and accept the word.
Moves away, gets colder, disappears.
So it follows here that the man is never the operator, he's always the operated one.
No, what turns out from this excerpt is that no matter what, you have to constantly keep the holiness, the Kedusha, so it fills you as much as possible and you will not let it run away, but only increase it.
And how do I do it if the Kedusha already escaped me and I have darkness?
Prayer, connection with the friends. What else do you have? Only two things.
Why does the Kedusha escape the person?
In order to pull a person after it. It's a flirt. That's what the Creator does.
But it's difficult. There's times when it's difficult to reach the state where a person is not in Kedusha and is really in that he has no feeling of it. So he's kind of on a loop. And he doesn't know how to come out of it.
Yes, but still, don't think that you are running the process. It's the Creator who organizes it in this way in order to teach you and connect you to the process you will have to go through. So it's all for your sake.
And this also is a question, like you said, that it's not in my hands, that it's what comes from above.
Yes.
And so how can I believe or feel that it really comes from above? And because, okay, even if it is come from above, at the end of the day, I behave as if I'm managing this thing. How do you change that?
So here, there already has to be a system of connection with the society so they don't let you or anyone in the society, in the 10, a way to think that the connection with the Creator disappears altogether because you are still in Him. And no matter what, the Creator is always with you, and it is always him who is running it.
Thank you, Rav.
Yes, but in the example of the guest and the host, finally the hunger is filled with the food that enters it, maybe in a small portion, as much as he can bestow, but it still enters that same original desire. And here, according to the explanation of Baal HaSulam, there are 10 sefirot of guf, of something new, where only there the light enters, and not in the original desire that went through the process of restriction and the feeling of distance.
That initial desire is what builds the guf. The original desire. It doesn't disappear. What's wrong with you?
I understand it doesn't disappear, but the ten sefirot of the original desire are the same desire, are the same ten sefirot of...
It's not new. These ten sefirot of the original desire divide into Rosh, Toch, and Sof. The Rosh decides what it will do with itself, with its desire. A goof carries out as much as it can, and as much as it can't, that is left for the Sof. That's why we have a structure of these three parts, Rosh, Toch, and Sof.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where is the matter of the completion of the tent of Sefirot of Rosh and the guest and the host?
In that same Rosh. What you're asking is, where is the Rosh of the guest?
Where are the roots of the vessels in the connection of the guest and the host? You have the root of the vessels, and there is the completion of all of the vessels. So where in this connection the root of the vessels are built?
The roots of the vessels were born in the expansion of the upper light within the Rosh. And then in the Toch of the Patsuf. And then, in the Zivug Daka, the coupling of striking that has been done in the Rosh, so in the Guf, the process is opposite. A reflected light was made. And this reflected light in the Rosh and the Guf builds the response of the Patsuf. So, it's not for no reason that I've said that we'll learn the preface again.
It's reflected light. It's very confusing.
Item 26, right? We've thoroughly clarified the issue of the screen that has been placed in the vessel of Malchut, phase 4, after having been restricted, and the issue of the five kinds of coupling by striking within it, right? In the fourth phase, which produce five levels of ten sefirot, one below the other. Now we shall explain the five Patsufim of Ak that precede the four worlds of Bia. Well, this will come later. I don't know about that yet. You already know that this reflected light, which rises through the coupling by striking from below upward and dresses the ten sefirot of the upper light, suffices only for the roots of the vessels called the ten sefirot of the Rosh of the Patsuf, meaning only for the thought, for the plan. How the Patsuf connects in its desire in his screen, in his rejection, and everything at once with the upper light. How both of them enter a connection between them. To complete the vessels, Malchut of the Rosh expands from those 10 sefirot of reflected light that clothe the 10 sefirot of the Rosh, and expands from it and within it from above downward to the same extent as in the 10 sefirot of the Rosh. Meaning, in the Rosh are the same actions from the plan, from the potential they happen in action, what the Rosh decides to do it together between him and the host. This expansion completes the vessels called the goof of the Potsuf. Hence, we should always distinguish two phases of Ten Sefirot in each, Potsuf, Rosh and Guf. Yes.
So at least as
I remember, the Partsuf is always born with Rosh Toch Sof. There is a calculation in the head. And according to the calculation, the light enters the Partsuf and what cannot enter. And now it's described differently. The
We've learned this as well, that the Partsuf is born in the Rosh. Only in the Rosh. And the Rosh decides how it will divide its desire in action, which is Toch, and not in action, which is Sof.
Yeah. So in this drawing there is only Rosh, not Rosh Toch Sof, and only after the calculation rises the returning light, and after the returning light, there is the birth of the Guf.
Yes. Yes, there are 10 sefirot of direct light from zero until the Peh of the Rosh. As a coupling of striking, a reflected light comes, clothes the 10 sefirot of Rosh, makes a calculation, how much can it receive in order to bestow and how much it cannot. As much as it can, from that it builds the Toch of the Potsuf, and as much as it cannot receive in order to bestow, from that the Sof of the Potsuf is built.
So the returning light is before Kabbalah, before the reception. No reception has been done.
The reflected light that comes from the screen, with the hope, with the desire to make itself equal to the giver.
Rav,
what is that Malchut expands and accepts Minei Ubei?
That it's Malchut of Rosh, and it wants to open it and to feel how much it receives, how much it gives back. That's called to expand.
And what is from it and within it?
Within itself. Within itself.
And what controls the opening of the Malchut? How much it can open?
The
light and the Kli, the question about the light. Yesterday we spoke about it a lot, and you mentioned that bestowal is pleasure. And if there is no pleasure, then there is no bestowal. So in our situation, a person who feels pleasure from bestowal, how does it relate to what we're studying now? Does he restrict that pleasure that he feels?
Of course. The pleasure of bestowal may be a few times bigger than the pleasure from receiving.
But it mentions only such that pleasure, meaning the pleasure from bestowal, and then there is Tzimtzum, the returning light. So where is the Rosh Toch? What is the intention here?
Why is he doing it? How is he doing it?
Today, a person feels pleasure from bestowal. Something happens and he changes in the ten, in the group, and he starts feeling the pleasure. What is the first thing he needs to do?
To aim it for the good of the ten, and then for the good of the Creator.
And this is called the restriction?
This is the right action.
Okay, and before he feels this pleasure, is there anything to...
Да, дорогой Раф, вот в этом наслаждении от отдачи в связи с Творцом, с товарищами, где часть, которую мы планируем, как вы сказали, в рожь, а где часть, которую мы приводим в реализацию?
Where is the part that we're doing the realization?
Хелек шанахну.
The part we are planning is always the Rosh. The part we realize, the practical bestowal is the Toch. And the part we don't carry out in order to bestow is the Sof.
And what does it mean that we have a connection of a state of connection, for example, in the ten? What does it mean that we are planning something that we are getting from this connection?
I don't understand what you're doing. When we plan something in order to bestow, how do we do it?
Da.
Yes.
So we're planning in the Rosh what we can receive in order to bestow, and we carry it out in practice.
So
what does it mean that we are receiving in practice in order to bestow?
That you receive, however, your intention is in order to bestow. Say a child, he doesn't want to eat his porridge, but in order to do a favor to his mother, he'll open his mouth and he'll eat the porridge. This is the meaning of receiving in order to bestow. Okay, guys, I don't know what to do with you. Maybe you're already... Where's everything you've learned?
Ken.
Yes.
Good morning, my teacher. Is it enough that he has a Rosh and then the Guf comes out?
From the Rosh, the Toch emerges and then the Sof. And Rosh Toch Sof is called Guf. Or sometimes only Toch and Sof are called the Guf, and the Rosh is separate.
Rosh is not a good enough expression for bestowal. It's not enough?
Because in the Rosh there's no desire, it's only thoughts.
So what creates thoughts if not the desire?
No, but it's not the will to receive. There's no vessel of reception. In the Rosh it's only a plan.
Yes, I want something.
Yes.
I'm planning it.
Yes.
And then I'm putting it into practice.
And then it's carried out in the Toch and the Sof of the Potsuf.
And this on itself is enough to the force. Meaning, what
the Rosh plans, that's how it is carried out in the Guf. The Guf can't add anything. It can't do anything. Everything comes from the Rosh.
Okay,
and it comes down to the goof, meaning the force of the goof is the aviyut.
The force of the goof is the aviyut, the coarseness.
Meaning, why is it not enough, the calculation in the head, in the Rosh?
But in the Rosh, there's a whole calculation, but there's no emergence in practice, in action.
Right, to put it into practice, the force
to bring out the thought to action, that's called the action of the action of the body.
I'll organize on that.
Yeah, it will. Yes, quickly.
Rav, to complete Yochai's question, where does the addition of the deficiency comes from after the calculation in the head in order to receive?
Where does
the addition of deficiency in order to receive what the Rosh has calculated?
Why does it need an addition? I didn't understand.
כן.
אבל עדיין צריך להיות רצון לקבל.
הרצון לקבל יש לו בגוף.
כן, אבל איך זה...
It has a will to receive in the goof, but...
Yeah, but in practice.
It takes all the will to receive it has in the goof, elevates it to Malchut Avosh, performs as a Vugdaka, coupling with striking with the upper light, decides how much it can receive in order to bestow, and receives from the Rosh to the Sof.
What is this ascend, the rising that he raises, the desire to Malchut the Rosh?
Makes a calculation.
Is there that hunger to receive in practice? There's a jump from calculation to reception. There's a jump in deficiency. How in practice does he go to reception?
Because when he calculates, he already does everything. It's only in a form of thought. And later, he receives it in practice. Teacher, let's just try to make things more simple. If I want to lift this table, I want to lift it, right? So the Rosh comes, things, where should I grab, and all kinds of calculations. Well, that doesn't make suddenly a body for me to lift this table.
Rosh, for now, it's in potential and force. The planning, but then you have to put it into practice.
Okay, so this practice, this intensity, the force, where does that come from?
That you had to begin with. You just didn't know how to work. Which is why you made the calculation and planning in the Rosh, and now you're putting it into practice and implementing it from the Toch to the Sof.
What do you mean I had it to begin with?
To begin with, you had a great desire, a will to receive. A light came from above and gave you the opportunity to make an action similar to the light.
So in spirituality, it's enough just to want strong enough and then I'll suddenly get the option to do it?
Yes.
I don't need preparation to practice before.
You have a Rosh, you're making calculations. In the Rosh, you have many, many actions. Everything is in the pre-planning. Yes, Oren.
When it says here that the reflected light that rises by the coupling of striking from below upward, clothing the 10 sefirot of the upper light, this reflected light, what is it? Is it just an expression of the rejection of the light in order not to be the opposite, not to be the receiver?
Not only, it rejects the upper light from it coming from the bestower, and the bestower wants to fill it in a direct way, which it doesn't want. And now, through the rejection, the repulsion, it wants to check what does the bestower wants from it? What does it bring it? What pleasures? What does it want to fill it with? And then it comes out. That he is checking where is he and where is the bestower. And he sees that the creator, the bestower, wants to fill him completely until zero space, fully, and he cannot do anything with it. So what does he do? And then he makes the rejection for what he's receiving from the host, for example. And then he starts calculating, so what do I do with the host that he wants to honor me so much and I'm incapable? And then, from this clash, he arrives to understanding that if I receive for his sake, if I enjoy, within my vessel, within my guts, but in my head, I will have the intention for his sake, then we are equal. Because the most important is my intention, and I have no ability to activate pleasure for the host other than receiving the fulfillment inside. So he makes a calculation how much to receive the fulfillment and how much not to receive. And this calculation that he does, this is called the Rosh of the Partsuf. And then based on the division that he divides his vessel to receive into how much to receive and how much not, precise.
The rejection in the screen is always 100%, and then you make the calculation?
In what state are you talking about?
In every state, there is a reception of direct light. The direct light is always absolute. It's like white light. It has everything. Now, the screen in every degree has to. The first step is to reject 100% of the light and then to start the calculation?
Yes.
And if we've already went through some kind of reception, so there was a degree of reflected light and the inner light already. In the next degree, there's always 100% rejection and calculation?
100% as much as it arrives at the next stage. It can be 80% as much as it went from one degree to the second degree. Towards the second degree, it is called 100%. But a part is remaining from the first degree.
Meaning the direct light that's received in the second step is 80% of the direct light that has been received in the first step?
Yes.
Isn't it in all the steps that the direct light is always 100%?
No, no.
We just always call it direct light, but it's different?
It's different. It's called direct light because it comes directly from the Creator.
And for the second degree, the Creator is the first degree?
No, it's a different Creator. When the vessel reveals it, discovers it, it reveals it differently.
Every degree discovers a different creator?
Yes. It doesn't know what the upper degree reveals, but when it rises from degree to degree, as a person rises in degrees, each time he has a different creator. This is how it's written.
The calculation, how much to receive, how much to reject, as we said, it passed on to the next degree. That same direct light is felt
never the same direct light. There is never the same light, because light is a result of the revelation of the vessel, meaning that there is a desire that reveals it.
And this is what you meant when you said every time there is a different creator?
Yes, yes.
It's not like the light that was in the previous degree?
Of course. Read it again.
Again, item 27. In the beginning, the first Patsuf Avak emerged. This is because immediately following the first restriction, when phase 4 was banned from being a vessel of reception for the upper light and was erected with a screen, the upper light was drawn to clothe in the vessel of Malchut as before. Yet, the screen in the vessel of Malchut detained it and repelled the light. Through this striking in the screen of phase 4, it raised reflected light up to the level of Keter in the upper light. And this reflected light became a clothing and the roots of the vessels for the ten sefirot in the upper light, called ten sefirot of the Rosh, ten sefirot of the Rosh of the first Partzuf Avak. Subsequently, Malchut, with reflected light, expanded and extended from her and within her by the force of the ten sefirot of the Rosh into ten new sefirot from above downward. This completed the vessels of the Guf. Then, the entire level that emerged in the ten sefirot of the Rosh clothed in the ten sefirot of the Guf as well. This completed the first Patsuf Avak, Rosh and Guf.
Rosh ve Guf.
Shilot.
Questions?
Again.
Yes.
How is it that specifically the action of the screen, the detaining and striking, this becomes reflected light?
Because direct light comes to the masach and wants to clothe, as with the host and the guest, and the guest in the screen rejects it and says, I don't want to receive. I want to resemble you. And this is why he rejects, repels the light, and remains empty.
Reflected light is already a relation to the host. It's giving back.
Yes, it is not bestowal, it is refusal.
Refusal, meaning it closes itself to what the host wants to give, and we say that the reflected light becomes clothing to the ten sefirot of direct light.
Is
in essence the condition that he can develop new vessels of reception.
Just in a simple way, how from a state of refusal, from a rejection, how is a reflected light done from that?
Were you ever a host over at somebody's?
Yes.
So why can't you understand what is written? Hebrew, you know. The state itself is clear.
Because if I close myself to what he wants to give me, that's one thing. But if I want to give back to him, that's a whole different thing.
Correct. How do you move from one thing to the other?
That's the exact question. I close myself. I said, I won't, I can't, I don't want.
Doesn't want it. What does he do?
He implores.
Great, and what do you do?
I feel uncomfortable because he implores. So I have a problem that I'm not giving him contentment because I implore myself.
Great, wonderful. And what do you need to do at the end?
I agree, I'll take a small bite so it won't hurt. He won't be hurt.
So great.
That's a reflected light, this small bite?
Yes, you already did something. You gave him pleasure. And then what he does?
Eat some more. I prepared for you.
And you? What do you
do?
For him not to be offended, I'll take some more.
Why not offended? And for you it's not important? What you received was a wonderful pleasure.
Oh, this small bite was tasty. So, yeah, so...
Yeah, so it weakens you also.
Yeah, I feel it's good.
And you know what is ahead of you, so you begin to also make additional calculations.
Okay.
Yes, do it until tomorrow and tell us. Of preface.
So it's actually not the amount of light that matters, but the relation between the relation that every patsuf, every time the created being develops to the creator in every patsuf.
Yes.
And that depends on the amount. What does the relation, the attitude depend on?
The relation depends on the quality of the screens.
And the quality of the screen, according to what? The flavors it feels in the light?
Because the masach is equivalence. As much as the creator relates to you and you relate to the creator, where is it? Where is it determined?
The relation that the created being has, the more we receive, it's as if it receives all the time some complication or...
And vessels, like in electricity.
And every screen stands of itself, standing and rejecting the light?
According to the laws of light and screen. Where does it start, the work of man that resembles the Creator, that wants to get closer to it? This you wait. There is no condition for that yet. The environment we're just constructing. Nature is just constructing the environment. Okay?
Dov? Turkey 3.
Dear Rav, it's a question from Woman Turkey. Does eating for the sake of the host actually give me a reason to expand my kli?
Why not? As much as you are able to bestow to the Creator, you are interested to expand your vessel. Of course. Through what can you come near Him to resemble Him? He wants to give you infinity, and you will want to give Him insof, infinity. So how will you give Him? Okay.
USA Northwest.
Does the light already clothe the vessel?
The light is always clothing the vessel. Otherwise, we are not able to feel it. I'm not sure what exactly is the question, but this is what I can answer. There is no light without a vessel.
Another question, Rav. The relationship between we create the creator and the Reshimot, what is the relationship with the Reshimot and then we make the creator?
Reshimot ze ma sheyesh lanu.
Reshimo is what we have. Particles of lights and vessels that remained after the breaking of the vessel of Adam HaRishon, and we want to gather them together one by one so that all the broken vessels will become as one vessel and all the sparks will be as one light to fill one another. This will be yes, Chaim.
What's the final goal of the Creator? For the Creator being to enjoy or to, for Him to be like Him?
I don't think there is a difference between the two definitions. I think it's one and the same. For the creature to be as the Creator and to enjoy as the Creator, because there is no state that is more whole.
So the pleasures, the created being, are pleasures of equivalent form? That's where his pleasures come from?
The creature receives pleasure of equivalence of form, of course. This is what he enjoys from until he comp-